Hello, everybody, and welcome into another episode of the Comics Experience Make Comics podcast, where we talk about listener-submitted questions, or in this case, it's a question from our Comics Experience Workshop forums. Nicole Booz, the ever-present, ever-all-seeing Nicole Booz, had some good suggestions that came through the Ask the Pros forums recently, Andy, the Ask Andy thread specifically. And she kind of parsed this down to its essence, pared it down to its essence. Suggestions on what to do when your goal is to work for the big two. And that would presumably be the big two comic publishers, Marvel and DC Comics. And Nicole, I'll include a little bit of an addendum that she's talks about how she says it's a tough one to answer since there's no surefire path. What works for some person might not work for another. And I think that that, from the stories I hear for people that work at Marvel and DC, that's kind of it. You know, it's different ways to get in there. The last episode, we talked a lot about networking, in a way, was kind of the crux of translating different job skills into comic skills. Is networking a place that, you know, is your first kind of thought there for working with the big two?
Well, it's certainly a component, and it's a component whether or not you're a freelancer or you want to work on staff. I mean, networking is networking sort of reached a height of popularity as a topic and a thing to discuss and work on. I don't know, maybe 10 or 15 years ago, I feel like it was more hotly talked about, but it's not like it didn't exist prior to that. Mm. I mean, networking has always existed. Nepotism has always existed. So, not that I'm equating the two, although there are some similarities. So it's not like that's something new. It's something people haven't been doing for lifetimes. That's a component. And she did boil this question down, which is interesting because there's still so many different things you could unpack from it, even in its boiled down state. But if I remember correctly, part of this came from I find myself often talking about goals and not just the importance of having goals, because you now know why you're doing certain things. You're doing them to achieve a goal. And you're able to evaluate them on how well or not well they help you or how close they get you to that goal. So goals are important for those sorts of ways. And those are the ways that are fairly fairly obvious when you think about why having a goal is useful. But what a lot of people don't talk about is the goal itself, and that you might want to be critical of the goals you set for yourself. So I think that's where part of this question really came from when it was sort of being asked. And that's because I often say that working for the big two, as it was in this case, is maybe not the best goal to set for yourself. Because while there are a ton of things you can do to direct you in that direction, ultimately, whether or not you get technically hired and a paycheck gets cut or a contract with your name on it gets sent to you is not up to you. And so when you set a goal, whether it's this or it's any goal in which you are handing over the achievability of that goal to somebody else, you've in essence created a real problem for yourself. So because ultimately there may be nothing that you do that's going to earn you that. Whereas if your goal is to make an awesome comic book and to publish it, that's stuff that ultimately you can control. You can control whether or not you write that script or you draw that page or you ink that artist's work or you get the lettering done that day. You control that. You can control whether or not you raise the funds for the printing, right? So there's nothing where you're saying, I'm just handing this over to you. But if your goal is to work at any one company, you're putting the final step in the hands of someone that you may or may not know. Mm. And may or may not be qualified to make that call. It's not like you get your job slip from whatever company and all of a sudden you've got the experience and the skill set to do that job awesomely. Hopefully that develops over time. So it may be that you wind up talking to the person making the decision on whether or not you get hired for a job. They could have been in that job for 2 weeks. It has nothing to do with you. And so that is where I wind up taking an issue. Now, I say that as somebody who worked at the Big Two, and it's real easy for me to say, don't make that your goal, because I have been there. But it very easily couldn't have worked out that way for me. And I often think about what that would have meant. And I'd certainly had my fair share of rejections, don't get me wrong, at places, especially for, some of the creative, sort of stuff. But had I not had that job at Marvel for whatever reason, not only would it have changed the course of my career, because that was an important, step in my career, but it would have, how that would have impacted me personally, I think could have been very damaging, because I made that mistake of kind of handing that over to somebody else.
Mm.
And I'm one of the rare cases where it worked out, and I will always be grateful for that.
Sure.
And know that I'm very lucky for that. But I know so many people that it didn't. And once I was a part of that company, or any of the other companies I've worked for, which have been several, I have always seen this go the wrong way.
Huh.
And so that's something I really have. I don't have an issue with it. I mean, it's your call, it's your goal, and it's what you want to do, and it can work out, and I'm proof of that. But I have real reservations about putting my own success or failure in the hands of someone else, especially somebody that I don't, really know. So that all said, if that hasn't convinced you to maybe readjust your goals slightly to, I'm going to publish my own comic and I'll make sure that gets in the hands of some people, and man, it would be sweet if I wound up getting a job at Marvel or DC or Dark Horse or wherever, then fine. If you stay focused on this, then we just go back to that position of all you can really do is take the best shot that you can.
Mm.
At putting yourself in the right place. And that's from a craft standpoint, a skill standpoint, making sure that you're always getting better at what you're doing, whether it's art or writing or coloring or lettering or whatever. And networking. The more people you know and friendly with, the more helpful that's going to be. And paying attention. Paying attention to the comics news and the comics, what's going on within the universes. If you want to work in a place that has a shared universe, and analyzing those trends and being on top of the business as a whole, and businesses in particular. I mean, if you see that there's, if you know that there's a Spider-Man Homecoming is coming out in a year, well, there's a pretty good chance that they're going to want more Spider-Man content. So that might be a place you might want to lean into, or you might want to do more research on Spider-Man if you're not already a fan of the character. or learn to draw. Because there will likely be more Spider-Man content. Not that there's not enough right now. But you learn to analyze those sorts of things, and you learn to try to train your brain to sniff out opportunities. And opportunities sometimes come from a combination of elements. Like you've started to get to know this editor, and she edits these six titles, right? Meanwhile, there's a movie coming out that has this one character. And there's another movie coming out that has this other character. So you wind up pitching a team up of the two characters, because you happen to know that editor. And it works out because it's this confluence of sort of, of things, of your networking with the person that oversees the right projects, and this outside force of like the they're going to want more content with this character. Mm-hmm. So like you wind up looking for those things and going, yeah, I can. I can go in there. Or you know that the company has currently got a drive. They want more female readers, or they want more young readers, or they want more older readers, or whatever it is. And you go, okay, well, I see that, and I see this character over here that hasn't had her own book, and you know, I can draw her real well, and I know this editor, or whatever, you know, again, whatever those combinations are, that you look for those opportunities, and that way you can at least be taking, you know, better aimed shots. I mean, if you sort of think of it as like the day you decide I want to work in comics is the day that you sort of pick up a bow and an arrow and you go, I want to become an archer, mm-hmm. right? But then you got to learn how to notch the bow, notch the arrow, and you got to learn how to aim, and you got to find the target, and you got to learn how, you know, how to measure that wind resistance, the gravity on the arrow. You got to learn how to do all of that stuff. So every shot that you take gets closer and closer to that target until finally you're hitting the outside ring. Mm-hmm. And you know, you're getting those things, and it's all of those things. It's you know, networking is the same as the wind current. You know, it comes and goes, and it comes in waves, and
right.
pretty unpredictable when that's going to pop up. And hey, I had a conversation with this person 3 years ago, and now they're on my radar again, and they're like, yeah, I'm working on this thing now. Great. You know, a lot of the people that I know in the industry, I've known for 15 years, and I got to know them all basically around one space. You know, 15 years ago, I was working at Marvel.
Right.
So a whole bunch of Marvel people, a lot of us have left, and we've gone on and we've done other things. And so a lot of the people I know in all of these different businesses and different, you know, working on different properties and stuff, are all people I met back then. We've just all moved on and had different careers. And that's, you know, so, you know, somebody I met that worked down the hall from me that I got along with real well, well, you know, now they're working on Star Trek, or now they're working on G.I. Joe, or now they're working on whatever. So it's all of those things, and it's just learning to figure out how to take better and better shots, and how to read the wind, and how to read the industry, and how to read people. As well as, of course, honing your craft. You know, if you think of your craft in the, going back to the archery example, if you think of your craft as, you know, the quality and accuracy of your bow and your arrow and the feathers on the arrow and all that kind of stuff, and your ability to see real well, I guess, and aim, like, that's your craft, but that's not the whole thing. There's, where is the bullseye? How far away is the bullseye? The wind, the gravity, all that other stuff. So it is all of it, and I don't know how helpful any of this is that I've been sort of droning on about, but hopefully it's in training your mind to think strategically about this stuff.
Well,
none of it is wild.
No, and I think that the advice of just keep doing your thing, making your thing, learning your craft, yes, but talking to people, again, we talked about this last episode, and we talk about it somewhat frequently, just getting to know people. I'm sure from your experience in a hiring position that you hired people for a variety of reasons and contexts. It wasn't always like, oh, I know that this person has published an independent comic, check. They also went to the Cuber School, okay, check. It was, you meet them, you learn more about them, you get to know them over the years, and you go, well, I think it's finally time to give that Brian Michael Bendis a shot and see what this guy can do. You know, there has to be starting points, and they're not always going to necessarily come out of the gates and go, hey, a new writer that just published this comic, you're in. But in 2 or 3 years, seeing their work consistently, getting to know them more, hey, I got a backup I need a writer for, plug in, and kind of go from there.
Yeah, and the other thing too, that, and I don't know if I'm different from other people this way or if this is fairly common, I'm really not sure, but you know, I used to, when I was hiring people for staff jobs that I was either going to manage or you know, be a part of a team that I was on, is I would look for people that have the experience that I know, but that also have a very different point of view or a different skill set. I don't need or want another me. I want you. I want somebody that's better than me at least certain aspects of the job, or has a different point of view on you know, the types of creators that we might want to hire. Because Something like tunnel vision in a job like, you know, an editorial job at a place like Marvel or DC can be a really dangerous and a bad thing, I think. So for me, I'm looking at what can somebody bring to the table that I can't, or that I don't, or that is not my strength at the very least. And that's why a lot of the best collaborations I've had with creative partners have been from people that have quite different skill sets than me. And so that's also something to look at, is what is, you know, you can look at a slate of titles from a company and go, there's nothing that eschews this point of view. And I get that point of view. I'm there already. And you can look for those types of openings as well. You know, it's almost like counter programming. Well, there's a Spider-Man movie coming out, so they're going to have 150 Spider-Man titles that month. Why don't I pitch something that's not Spider-Man? Because everybody else and their mother is going to be pitching Spider-Man stories. So that can work too. Which is a lot like saying, pitch whatever. Because it does boil down to, do you have the skills? Do you know the right people in the right place at the right time? But going back to that, the setting of the goals thing, set clear goals, you know, and you might want to even shift from, I want to work at Marvel or I want to work at DC, to, I want to identify an editor I think I'd work well with, mm-hmm. that their sensibilities line up with my sensibilities. You know, or I want to work on this character in some capacity. And maybe that's doing a comic, but maybe it's doing a comic that's in a serial tie-in. You know, or maybe it's you're helping design a toy of that character, or, you know, whatever it might be. You know, adjust those goals so that they're more targeted. It's easy to say, I want to work at place X. It's hard to say, I want to do this job on that property at place X. Mm-hmm. And that gives you at least a smaller target to aim for. You can do a lot of work that might help you get a job at Marvel, but are you going to be happy if you're an accountant at Marvel? Some people will be. Some people would be thrilled with that. But is that you? Is that what you need to be doing? And so that's the other side of this. It's just the most important thing in figuring out how to work wherever it is you want to work and doing whatever it is that you want to do is setting the right goal first and being particular about it so that you've got something real to aim for. And then the second one is just making sure that you're the one that's in control of achieving that. So one of the things that I've told people is, if your goal is to draw Spider-Man, well, and, you know, at Marvel, you might consider just adjusting your goal to drawing Spider-Man. Because you don't need Marvel's approval to draw Spider-Man. You can draw Spider-Man all day long. And guess what? You just achieved your goal. Because you decided what that goal was. You decided the parameters. You didn't leave those parameters up to somebody else. So, some people have like a real, like, you know, really, really bold and powerful feelings about like fan fiction. But there's nothing wrong with fan fiction. And fan fiction can be really good. If you do really good fan fiction, that's awesome. Go for it. don't do anything illegal with it.
Right.
But go for it. If that's what makes you happy, then that's what makes you happy, and that's awesome. And it doesn't mean that it doesn't have a level of craft. Get better. Write the best freaking Spider-Man fan fiction ever. And I'll even give an interesting example about fan fiction. There was a writer writing Transformers fan fiction for a number of years. Wrote even a full novel, a Transformers novel. And I was editing Transformers at the time, and I was looking for new voices and fresh takes, but also looking for writers that knew those characters. And there aren't a whole lot of comic book writers that you know have had long careers that know the Transformers that well. You find the handful that, you know, are big fans. But it's not a lot. And so I was looking for writers kind of outside of the box, and I started talking to some of the creators that I was working with. One of them, Nick Roach, recommended James Roberts as a potential writer, and I hadn't heard of him at the time. And so he said, well, he's written all this fan fiction and all this sort of stuff. And I'm like, you know, I kind of had that same sort of like, really? We're going to fan fiction people? And Nick sent me his novel, a PDF of his novel, and I read it, and I was like, this guy gets it. He gets it. He's verbose, but he gets it. and James hadn't written any comics before, so, but I had kind of gone, you know, there's really something here. You know, he definitely gets the franchise, and he's clearly passionate, and I can work with getting the franchise and passionate. I can work with that. We can get to good comic book writer. And so I, first we teamed him up with Nick. And so they worked together on a project, and then I worked with James quite a bit to get him, you know, to the point where he could take over. And he did. I mean, he proved himself every step of the way. I mean, I don't want this to sound like, oh, look what I did for James. James had this talent. He had this drive. He had this passion. I was able to open up a door for him and then help him filter it down, you know, to writing, you know, more visual and comic book script type stuff. But eventually he wound up taking over the main series, where he has now been the Transformers main series writer for 5 years, I think, writing the main title over at IDW. So even if your goal becomes fan fiction, it's not like it's impossible that will turn into something else. You know, it turned into, you know, what I think would James to this day would say is still his dream job. So there's a lot of ways that this can work out, and you never know how that's going to occur. But being focused and being able to accomplish what you can accomplish. In the case of James, he wanted to write a novel, and he wanted to write a novel about Transformers, and he did it, and it wound up leading to work. So, I don't know. Again, I feel like we've had a long show where I've helped not at all.
Well, I think you've given a pretty good direct route. So you have to write a book, and then you can make comics.
Write a novel.
Draw your own comic. Then you can make Spider-Man. I think that's what you said.
Right. Right.
I think that's a good, but it's, you know, there, you hear that from so many pros. I remember like a Mark Waid or and a Brian Bendis talking about how there's not really any definitive way in, and those two guys had very different career paths to their careers writing work for hire for Marvel and DC. And it just, I think what we're summing everything up as, nobody knows anything, just do your own comics.
Right. Well, suit yourself, you know. And we had the master seminar with Brian Bendis a couple weeks back, and it was awesome. And one of the things that he brought up was he actually brought up Mark Waid and Dan Slott. And he was like, the three of us are way different writers. Our stuff really isn't all that similar at all. We may work in the same shared universe, but you know, and we actually looked at scripts by all of those just to see how they're formatted completely differently from one another. Like, even down to the script formatting is totally different. So you know, it's one of those things where, you know, that's a benefit. You know, Marvel wasn't looking for another Brian Michael Bendis. They needed a Dan Slott to do what Dan Slott does. They needed Mark Waid to do what Mark Waid did. And at the time, they needed Brian Bendis to do what Brian Bendis does. So a lot of it, and that's, you know, that's worth hitting here too. A lot of it is play to your strengths, do what you do. Work on the things that aren't your strengths, but do what you do. Be true to yourself. Be true to your own creative vision, because it's the creative vision that's the most important thing.
And that is one to grow on. I think let's sum it up to that and have a direction. I think that is really good advice. You know what you want to do and maybe define that. And if it is, well, I want to write Spider-Man for Marvel Comics or draw Spider-Man for Marvel Comics, that's one thing. And if it's, I really want to draw Spider-Man, you can draw Spider-Man and make that happen. If you have a question, a topic you'd like to hear discussed on the show, you can email info@comicsexperience.com or you can tweet at Andy @comicexperience on Twitter. And at this point, Andy, I'm sure Comics Experience has any number of things coming up as we get into September and beyond as the year winds down faster than I imagined it would. Anything you want to highlight that's coming up? I'm sure...
Well, we've got a slate of the intro classes starting up. We've got intro to color, intro to art, and intro to writing all starting up in, I think, October and November. So if now is the time for you to start making comics and start learning how to make comics, then those are great places to go.
Excellent. You can check everything out at comicsexperience.com. And until next time, keep making comics.